Okay, we're going to turn to two places in the Bible. Let me see. At least from what I can find, the only two times you find this in the Bible. I think it's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 10 and then 1 John. I want to talk today about a disease that I believe has infected and affected the body of Christ. When you read through the New Testament and the Gospels, you see how Christ is healing all kinds of physical problems and maladies people have. Hasn't changed. Sin has gave birth to all types of physical problems. It's a sad, sad state mankind is in. But I have hope, because I know who can heal all diseases. But whatever Christ is healing, when you read through them in the Gospels, you recognize there's an underlying spiritual parallel that he's trying to get people to see. He's healing blindness. There's a spiritual parallel. They can't walk. People that can't talk or can't hear. People that have an issue of blood or devils. And he's showing them there's a spiritual, there's a spiritual parallel there. And there's all kinds of diseases in the world. We're going to look at one today that I really believe is a real big problem in the body of Christ. It involves an autoimmune disease where the body doesn't recognize a problem it has and it attacks itself. Because I really believe that the Christian's biggest problem is not realizing that you're your own worst enemy. And we don't recognize the body, and we naturally attack the body, something within the body. Not realizing, not understanding. There's somewhere over 50 million Americans, I'm told, have different types of autoimmune types of diseases. I'm talking about HIV is a real frightening one. It's a virus that affects so many people, and AIDS, which is acquired immune deficiency. It's not autoimmune. At least my understanding of the big one that's in the papers today is Ebola. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of shook me up a little bit this weekend because I was reading quite a bit on it. I don't believe it's autoimmune. Comes from some sort of a virus. We want to talk about a disease that affects the body of Christ, because an autoimmune disease is when the body is ignorant of what it recognizes as a problem that it begins to attack, and it's not the problem. Amen? And it begins to attacking itself. Something that's good is recognized as evil. It goes into attack mode, just kind of automatically. Amen? You become your own worst enemy, spiritually, when you don't understand what we're going to talk about today. And yes, to some extent, there's many factors, but you could attribute genetics to it. Amen? Or the certain cells in your body produce antibodies to combat antigens, which are produced by other or within other organs or so on and so forth in your body. You perceive them to be evil. And it's a mistaken case of identity. We want to look at that today. And for the most part, I have certain aspects of it that are that affect me. I think rheumatoid arthritis is genetic, and it's an autoimmune, and I can tell it's getting worse as I get older. But for the most part, the curing isn't really curing; it's controlling, it's suppressing. It's like somebody wants to suppress the smoke and never address the fire. Smoke and mirrors. It's never really addressing the problem. So that's not what we want to do today. We want to address the fire, and not necessarily look at the fire as something that is the problem. We want to recognize and understand it. It involves a type of fear. The first time you find it, that we find it in the way we want to look at it, is in Deuteronomy 10. Only once in the Old Testament, once in the New. And everybody in here, believe me, has certain types of fears. Fear of the dark, I think, is called oculophobia, and acoustic phobia is fear of noise, and acrophobia is fear of height, and agliophobia is the fear of pain. I can relate to that one. Alien phobia is the fear of garlic. There's all kinds of fear. Being afraid of beads and afraid of glass and afraid of bikes and afraid of books and slime and afraid of thunder and oceans and sharks right over here and jumping off of airplanes. Those are the types of fears. I get petrified when I fly in an airplane, never mind jumping out of one. Amen? That's me. I get nauseous when I'm in an airplane. But we're going to talk about an autoimmune problem in the body of Christ that involves fear. Fear that you don't really think of as a disease, as a problem. But twice in the Bible you find it joined together with something which identify it as a phobia. So we're going to learn a new type of phobia today, maybe for some of you. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10. We'll see right here. It's the first time, the only time I can see it in the Old Testament. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? God just wants, he requires one thing of you. Now, here are these people, they're under the law. It's okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to fear me. The fear of God is very healthy. Amen? But what we begin to do is we begin to attribute God with attributes that are like humans. And he's not a man, even though he became a man. And we take this and we begin to misconstrue it, what he's telling us here, you can see. And we begin to look at him like we look at ourselves. And he looks at us like he looks at himself. Because that's what he sees in us. We get this screwed up. And he says right here, to walk in all his ways and to love him. Now you've got the fear and the love of God in the same verse. And it becomes an autoimmune disease when we misconstrue it. And to serve thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Now who has ever kept that verse in their entirety? Nobody. What this is called philophobia. Say, what is that? It's a fear of love. We don't understand God's love. So we become afraid of it. I believe that plagues the body of Christ. It becomes an autoimmune disease. Where because we don't know His love, we don't know His fear, and we place them all upon ourselves, and we don't understand that the law is teaching us, you got it yet? Something's wrong with your fear. Something's wrong with your love. Why don't you try mine? And we get this thing all reversed and all screwed up, and we begin to have a fear of God's love. That's quite amazing to me. It's kind of a paradox. We have an automatic immune system. We go into attack mode or hide mode because you can't do what he told you to do. So what we crave and desire for, and what God intends to be healthy in a relationship with Him, actually becomes a battle against Him. Never intends it that way. We fear God's love. To some extent it's genetic, and I'm not talking about monkey DNA, brother. I'm talking about donkey DNA. Man's born like a wild ass's colt.
That's right.
We got rebellion and resistance in them. Praise God, Jesus Christ can ride a donkey.
Yeah.
Amen. Triumphantly. You read about him all the way there, back in the book of Genesis, with Abraham and Isaac. All the way to the cross.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That donkey DNA, brother, just passes on. Amen. A fear of love. We want to look at a fear of God's love. What we crave for, what we desire and hunger. Now, that's the only time I see it in the Old Testament, and God's trying to show us, can't do it, can you? Let's jump to the New Testament. We're no longer under the law. We want to correct something here. 1 John chapter 4, because it's the only other time you find it, these two aspects of fear and love together, same verse. First John chapter 4. See, because when you're just stuck in Deuteronomy, you're always busy in a fear of God trying to attain His love, get the acceptance of His love, win His love, the approval of His love, the security of His love. You want to be loved, but you're always afraid because you know you can't do what He told you to do. Fear of His love. Isn't that amazing? It's a disease. It's an autoimmune disease. In 1 John chapter 4, now this is the only time you find it. Look at verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another. So that's going to be the element, the external element expressing God's love. That's going to be an indication to you understand it. Because you're going to begin to see, just like you can't, neither can your brothers. We're part of the same body.
Yeah.
Amen. Just as despicable as your sins are, that you see in other people that you begin to mistakenly think are more despicable than yours. You don't realize, just as God teaches you, His love for you is the same as He loves another brother. No different. So this is an indication that God's beginning to show you this. You're beginning to combat it victoriously. Philophobia is the name of this disease we want to look at. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who?
God.
Deuteronomy isn't teaching you that. The law isn't teaching you that. It'll eventually show you that it's not your love. It's always going to fall short. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For who is love? God is love. Now don't flip that, flop that, brother, and say love is God. The Bible says God is love. Amen. It's one of His attributes. Always wanting to pour out His love to those He loves. And who's that? Everyone that allows Him to. That is willing to receive it. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Whose love? The love of God towards us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. It's His love. And the Bible talks about we might live through Him. This is what we got to get. Herein is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God. But that He loved. See, philophobia is thinking that He doesn't love us because we're not loving Him properly in return. You're afraid of His love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, it's God's love, brother. Now look at this in verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And His love... this is what He's got to teach us, is perfected in us. Where is that love? It's in us. You're born of God. It's in us. His love, it's not something you acquire. It's in us. He says in verse number, you see in verse 13, the Spirit, and then in verse 14, the Father and the Son. You've got the Trinity. All of God's here. He's not going to, God, none of God's going to miss out on this love, brother. Verse number 17 is going to teach us this. Verse 17, here is our love made perfect. This is that perfect love that indwells us. His love is perfected in us. Herein is our love made perfect. This is what He's trying to teach us something here. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is Jesus Christ perfect?
Amen.
Is He perfect?
Yes.
So are we.
Amen.
How come we don't get that?
Yeah.
Because we're looking at ourselves. And God's not looking at ourselves. He's looking at Himself. Amen. And He wants you to start doing that. Amen. Because what indwells you is the life of God. Amen. That's perfect love.
Yeah.
So He says right here, because as He is, so are we in this world. Present tense, brother. If He's perfect, there's something that's perfect about you right now. Well, I don't feel perfect. I don't think perfect.
Yeah.
I don't act perfect. That's because you're not perfect.
Yeah.
You've got philophobia. Because in verse number 18, there is no fear in love. The only other time you find it in the Bible where fear and love are joined together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you don't have to be afraid of God's love. When it's God's love. He says right here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. This is what His love will do. Casteth out fear. A closer relationship with God will only bring you closer.
Amen.
We fear. People fear love. Who wants to get hurt, man? Mm-hmm. Who wants to make themselves vulnerable? Who wants to make themselves raw and open for those they show themselves to? Because they want that love in return. Who wants to do that? That's what Christ did on the cross. He made himself vulnerable. He gave people the opportunity to reject him, to despise him, to mock him, to spit on him, to say, "We don't love you." Amen. In return. That didn't stop him, did it, brother? That's his love for you and I. Becomes vulnerable. And I want you to see in verse 18, it's three times he makes this combination. The whole Trinity wants part of this. God wants all of you, and he wants all of you to know all of him. But perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. And this is about perfecting something. See? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's already a perfect love in you. In verse 18, perfect love casteth out fear. Where is that perfect love? It's in you. It's already in you, brother. Amen? Philophobia is afraid of God's love. And this is what you have to discover in verse number 19. The liberating truth. We love him. Not just me, brother. Amen? The body discovers. But on an individual basis, God calls the body in the last days to revival. And he says, listen. Who I love, I chasten and rebuke. If any man on an individual basis, here's my voice. This is the last movement of God calling individuals to revival. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of his love. And I'll show you and explain to you, we love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And this is what he convinces us of. He secures our love, and he by revealing our love towards him, by revealing his love towards us. Philophobia, brother, we're not going to fan away the smoke. We're going to go right to the fire, and we're going to fan it. Because it's the fires of revival. Because I'm confident when you become wrapped and embraced in a greater security of God's love, you will just begin to become a vessel that just is available for however he chooses to live through you. Why? Because you're walking with him in the process. But you have to understand philophobia. You have to understand first that your fear of love is based on ignorance. God has to open the eyes of our ignorance. Enlighten us, just like he did the Laodicean church. He bids the Laodicean, let me put some eye salve on your eyes. And we'll look at that as we go through this today a little bit deeper. Lord, please, 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 Father, please give us an awareness, a clearer visibility on an individual basis. God, talk to every heart in here. Let us all see, God, Lord, we're talking to people, Lord, that are here in church today. Help them realize and recognize there's a drawing to come closer to Christ. As long as we live in this world, Lord, for all eternity, we'll experience it without the pains and sorrows of sin. Help us to recognize the wonderful privilege to live by faith in the way we do now, to be laborers together with you, in allowing that perfect love to be made perfect within us. And I know, Lord, what prevents it so often. It's an autoimmune disease. A fear of that which we love. You. Help us discover this wonderful liberating truth today in this lesson in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe this with all my heart. Amen. I believe that people have things that happen in their past that cause them to become bitter. Painful divorces. Abusive relationships. The awareness and reality of people that you thought loved you don't. The knowledge and discovery of your own weakness and wickedness. Not wanting to be rejected by others. Realizing you're never good enough and you'll never be good enough. Still wanting to be loved, but afraid you won't be loved in response. And so instead of opening up for that which your heart cries for, you keep it closed. And you say, that's close enough. That's what we don't want to happen to the Christian in his walk with God. Where you become dormant, dead, complacent, numb, lukewarm to God's love. Where you just sit there. You just stand there and it's like, that's close enough, God. That's not what we want to unravel that and understand it by two aspects. We want to understand God's love. The first is in Romans 8. And we want to discover something that's true only about God's love, and do not make the mistake of attributing to God His love with the depravity of man's love. Don't do that, because it's not the same. Amen? Philophobia, a fear of love. It's in Romans chapter 8. I thank the Lord. Jesus Christ prayed, and he said, Lord, the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The love that God had towards the Son, he said, I want them to have that same love in them. It's in you, brother.
Yeah.
You've got it all already. You have to understand this, first of all, first and foremost, brother. Philophobia, two Greek words, philo, love, phobia, fear. Fear of love. But we're not talking about in the human realm of being afraid of relationships. There's a parallel to the spiritual world, a fear of a relationship with God. And let me tell you something, brother, that when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they were afraid, they went and hid themselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't because God's feet were thundering, or there were lightning bolts whizzing out of a quiver that he pulls out and shoots at him, trying to hit him hiding behind that tree. Amen? He's just calling out to him. Where art thou? Man, they so wanted God to not know who they were, because they discovered who they were apart from God. And they became afraid, not just of the consequences of sin, they became afraid of God in a different way. Afraid of what they wanted from him most of all, his love, his approval. And he wasn't there saying, I don't love you anymore. I won't approve of you. I don't accept you. That's close enough, God. You're going to discover certain things. Now, don't let that be your experience, brother. In Romans chapter number 8. See, here's the Trinity in verse 27. You see verse 27? See the Holy Spirit right there? And the will of God right there in verse 27? See? The Bible says, you see Christ all throughout this chapter. See him in verse 34. The Trinity's here. You're not going to miss out on all of God's love when he talks about his love. It's all of him. And so the Bible says in verse number, the end of verse 27, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He wants us to understand verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Not for good and evil, for good. All things, not just the good things, all things work together for good. I'm so convinced of this, that there's nothing that God allows in your life that He does not intend to be for your good, and to discover by faith a deeper understanding of His love by allowing you to go through what you went through. Amen? Faith worketh by love. The Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's you and I, brother. And that love already exists within you. But here's where you begin to see it in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of who? See, the Spirit, the Father, and Christ. It's the Trinity of love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through a list of things, a whole litany of possibilities that flood through a person's mind. Reasons why you should be or could be afraid of God's love. Philophobia. And he says, that's nonsense. You don't understand my love, brother. You get saved and you say, I know God loves me, but what about when he discovers this about me? You don't think he knew that already? Maybe another person will love you, but then they discover things about you. I don't love you anymore. That's man, brother.
Yeah.
That's not God.
Yes.
Philophobia is attributing to God man's love. Big, big, big bad boo-boo. Amen? Man's love is not God's love. God's love is in me, and He wants you to discover it. Amen. He says, "They shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or naked." What circumstance could separate you from God's love? But I'm afraid of it, God. Amen. What about my hidden past? What are you going to do when you discover I'm not who you thought I was when you fell in love with me? Amen. People may not love you anymore. Not God. Amen. Don't ever be afraid of God's love. Where you, the raw weakness and wretchedness of who you are is something that keeps you from getting closer.
Yes, sir.
You can't love me. You can't. I don't remember how many times I've gone to revival meetings. And I get down and I pray, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I'm so wicked. God, could you ever..." Yes, He could. He already has. Amen. You need to discover that, not Him. Amen. He shows you who you are so you can discover who He is. We have something to shout about. Amen. Something to rejoice in. We're members of the body of Jesus Christ. God is love. His body should be filled and overflowing with love. What you see here is the unconditional love of God. That doesn't exist in the human world. Our love's conditioned. Now God's love, verse 37 rather, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors." Brother, how can you be more than a conqueror? Because you know it ahead of time. You're more than, when you conquer, when you have victory, well brother, you don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win a soccer game, or who's going to get a trophy for the best song, so on, until it's over. It's already over. You already know that you've conquered. You already know, brother, you're on the winning side. Amen. What are you afraid of? You're attributing man's love to God's love. And you always realize, just like you're shortcoming and fearing and loving God, He must be too. Deuteronomy, you're under the law. You don't understand. His love isn't based on your love. It's based on His love. His love is unconditional. Verse 38, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God," which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And where are you, brother and sister, in Christ?
Amen.
I think you're in Christ.
Yep.
If you're a brother or sister, amen, spiritually speaking, we're right in the middle of His love. Yeah, but you don't understand unconditional. What about my hypocrisy? Well, somebody else may stop loving you because their love is conditional. God's isn't, brother. What about when you discover who I really am? What if you discover I'm a coward? I'm selfish. I'm dirty. I'm proud. Double-minded. What if you discover I'm a Christian on the outside, but not on the inside? And I'd say to you, you're a Christian on the inside, but not on the outside. You don't understand Christianity. This isn't what you do on the outside. It's who you are on the inside that's trying to get out on the outside. Amen. We always equate Christianity with a lifestyle. What if you discover, Lord, I'm afraid. You know, Jesus Christ, all the time He's talking to His disciples, and He's always saying these three wonderful words: "Be not afraid." Psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Be not afraid, Jesus Christ says, as He's walking on the water. It's me. It's me. It's I. Now, if it's just an ordinary human being, I could understand you being, that's kind of spooky. Amen? You know, but that's, you know, you get levitation and all that kind of, but not Christ. He walks on clouds. He walks through doors. He walks on water in the midst of a storm. It is a be not afraid. It's like they want to love Him, but they're afraid of Him. It's like, whoa. Be not afraid. He says, arise. Be not afraid. At the Mount of Transfiguration, He's all the time saying this. He comes here. I came here because I love you. Amen? I'm trying to show you. I came to, you know, you're sick. I came to heal that which is sick. I came to save that which is lost. I came to rescue you from the bondage of sin. Be not afraid. He tells his disciples, after he resurrects, go tell my brethren. Go tell them. I've resurrected. Be not afraid. See, man's love is conditional. Ours isn't. Mm-hmm. The danger, brothers, Simon Peter says, Lord, depart from me. For I'm a sinful man. We don't understand that he's afraid of God's love, but he wants it. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He wants God's love. So do you and I. It infects the body of Christ. We don't understand. It's unconditional. God's love isn't conditioned on our love for him. We have to discover that. We can't equate it with man's love or berate it because of man's love or sedate it because of our own love. Amen? But eventually you'll negate it if you keep on thinking that way. Amen, brother? And you'll remove from you the very love that you're drawn to. Philophobia, fear of God's love. The Bible says, for God so loved. It's his love, brethren. But God commendeth his love. I just want you to bathe in God's love. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The love of God, the Bible says. The love of Christ, the Bible says, constraineth. It's a trinity of love. We have put conditions on God's love. Amen. We don't understand. We don't realize that God's love is unconditional. But what if I do this? What if I said that? What if so-and-so did that? This is why relationships, you're afraid to get close to people. What's going to happen when you find out that I'm not who I'm portraying myself to be? Amen. Well, I'm not talking about everybody bring their dirty laundry into church. Amen. Leave that at home. But we all got dirty laundry, don't we, brother? That's what washing machines are for. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is for. You come to church and live your life as a Christian, realizing the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, cleanses us from all sin every single day. In every single way, it's unconditional. I mean, I thank God for the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Brother, it's wonderful to relax in, to bathe in, to walk in, to swim in, to live in, amen. All the time I think about people that trying to get it. I know Guinness World Book of Records, I'm running through my mind with their most popular section involves little toy dogs, the smallest things. And I think, Paris Hilton, whatever it is, bought a 13, late put down $13,000 to buy this cute little, petite little dog, amen? And you've got all these, you got these people competing, the Miracle Millie, or Donkey is one of them called. You got all these different, I forget the other one is called, Miracle, something with a whip, all these different names. And you get these toy little dogs, they're only about 3 or 4 pounds in size. They may stand 4 inches high. A little toy dog. And it's like, well, brother, they want you to love them and hold them, and they seem so comforted by the owner of it. But as you approach that little tiny dog, it's scared. Mm-hmm. Because it realizes your love can hurt it. It becomes vulnerable to your control, your sovereignty, your will. And as you hold one of the little tiny things in your hand, you can feel the heart beating. It's got anxiety. Are you going to hurt me? I'm perceiving that you want to love me, but you got it because you could. Love makes you vulnerable to people hurting you. Mm-hmm. You're going to hurt me. Here's my soul. This is who I am. Will you hurt me? That's what happens when you open yourself up to people, brother. They can hurt you. They can punch you in the stomach. They could wind you. They could step on you. And I look at this and I realize how vulnerable we are when we approach God. But you don't realize he'll never hurt us.
Amen.
He'll never leave us alone. He'll do nothing to harm us. He loves us and adores us. We're not pets. Amen. We're far greater than pets, and he knows it. Amen. 1929, it was C.L. Griggs came up with the bubbliest drink ever born. The most unlikely of places. Say, where's that? Missouri. Misery. Missouri, you have this place that it's born, amen? And the Bible, and I don't know if you know what this drink was. It was a pop drink. It challenged the popular idea of soda pop drinks at that point in time. Came out with what's known as the first Un-Cola. And it had 7 Un-Cola flavors combined in a unique way, in a special blend that gave it its name, 7-Up. Amen. Mm-hmm. Promised to just you know, bubble your experience and make you fall in love with it, with its taste, different than what cola could ever do. Amen. The Un-Cola, most unlike misery, 33 A.D., the God of Gods took 7 unlikely flavors. Unthankful. Unworthy. Unperfect. Unprofitable. Unequal. Ungodly. And unbelief. And he mixed them together in the most unlikely of all places, where God would reveal and join all this together in the misery that he suffered at the cross. The unthinkable, the unimaginable was born, where God gave us his unspeakable gift of what? Of love.
Yeah.
The unspeakable gift. So God loved the world. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. It's the unspeakable gift of love. Amen. And brother, I can unconditionally boast that God's love is the bestest of the best, and even better still. And if you're afraid of God's love, philophobia, it's because you don't understand it's not man's love that died on that cross for you.
Yeah.
It was God in the body of a man, suffering in the body of man, shedding the blood of a man, dying and pouring himself out as a man, but God at the same time. Immeasurably to all of humankind. You and I. Why are we afraid of his love? Because we think it's conditioned on who we are.
Yeah.
Brother, that's not how you got saved. You couldn't possibly be saved if you think God's love is conditioned on who you are.
Amen.
Amen. It's conditioned on who he is.
Yeah.
God is love. It's unconditional. Now let's go a step further. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Philophobia. Okay, I got it. He loves me. I'm eternally secure, but I'm still in misery. Brother, the Un-Cola. We got to break through the bonds of what Christians think they're supposed to be. You read through the church and throughout the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and the very first church leaves its first love. God never left the church.
Amen.
Never. And you find church number 2, church number 3, all the way to church number 7. And God says, you've got to get a hold of this, whom I love. I chasten and I rebuke. Amen. We need to begin to understand and discover the chastening love of God is what intended to purge us. It's what is intended to open our eyes. In Ephesians chapter 3, that is not just unconditional, it's immeasurable. You can't, brother, we can't measure God's love. I know you could go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy the big fat Max and the longest tape measure and just get it, and then you could hold that thing up and it gets to the top of a roof or measure how far a tree limb is. You got to kind of, it doesn't fold or but it has an end. Brother, God's love is immeasurable because God is immeasurable. Is God over here? And his love is over here. Is God over here? And his love is over here. How about tomorrow? Is God going to be there tomorrow? Then God's love is going to be there tomorrow. How about the next day? How about for all eternity? Is God going to be there?
Amen.
Sure is, brother.
Amen.
It's immeasurable. You got to get a hold of this. It's not just it's not human love, brother. It's God's love in Ephesians chapter 3. You pick this up, and here's the Trinity in verse 14. See the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 16, he be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then he tells you, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This is how it operates, brother. Once you get a hold of this by faith, love of faith worketh by love, he secures you. It becomes, this thing gets a hold of you. His love wants to get a hold of you, laying hold of eternal life. That's what indwells you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. This is the security that God wants you to be confident of. I love you in spite of who you are. And when you wake up tomorrow morning after your wedding day, and or after your what do you go on? You go on a wedding. What do you do after you go on a wedding? I remember my honeymoon. I just forgot the word. You come back after your honeymoon. Guess what? It's like, and you see your wife. She sees you. Guess. I still love you. Amen? It doesn't come to an end, brother. It's not like, okay, all over. Time to trade you in. Sure love this car, but get a little bit old. Amen? Time to trade in. It's, brother, that's our love. Amen? It's measured. It's measured on how it benefits us. It's measured by time. Amen? A person said, I have never been so in love in all my life. I've never been so certain that I've been in love. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that it might end. Might have a limit. Ephesians 3 says, he says in verse 18, may be able to comprehend. Now look what he's comprehending with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Those are four dimensions. We live in a four-dimensional universe. Our experience. Amen. I know there's more. I'm talking about what we experience and how we perceive. It's four. Time is a dimension. And he says, and to know the love of Christ. And here's one of the greatest oxymorons. To know that which passeth knowledge. That doesn't mean you know all there is to know. You know that there's more than you'll ever know. That's what you comprehend. God's love is immeasurable. Brethren, it doesn't come to an end. In the human relationship, it does. Do not attribute to God man's love as though that's God's love, because it's not. His love is unconditional and it's immeasurable. You could be as certain today as the day you got saved. He loves you. He loves you still. He loves me. He loves me now. He loves me. He loves me. I think that's a French flower picking game, isn't it? He loves me. It's typically done with the daily, the ordinary field daisy. Let me tell you something. Shh. Let's reverse it, because we always get things in back. We always get things backwards. Every day. Fibonacci's code, you know that number code of how God created everything? Daisies all have 34 petals. That's an even number. God starts with the negative, always ending on the positive. He doesn't love me, the fear of God. He loves me, the love of God. He fear two. He doesn't love me, the fear of God. He loves me, the love of God. Four, it's an even number. Shh. It's a secret. The whole body of Christ should know and understand. When he shows you the negative in you, it's to magnify the positive in him. That's the only reason. He loves you in spite of you forever. Amen. That's a wonderful game to play. Amen. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. No. He loves me, the Bible says, forevermore. That's not just forever. Forevermore. More forever. You and I that are saved and born again in here have something to shout about. You ever hear the saying that perfect is the enemy of good? They say better is a diamond with a flaw than a pebble without. You ever try so hard to perfect something that you screw it up? I know I'm painting something at work. I'm getting something. It's like, and I go back just a little bit. I go back and I screw the whole thing up. Amen. Then I try to fix it and I make it even worse. Yeah. How are you going to perfect something that's already perfected?
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible talks about perfect love. It's not the love that needs to be perfected. Amen. As far, it needs to be perfected in the sense of our understanding of God's love for us. It indwells us. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear of God's judgment, because we can't do or be what we think He expects us to be. He's discovered who I really am.
And he still says, come. Yeah. Spirit of Bride say, come.
Yeah.
After the tribulation, during the come. I want you. Amen. I want you, and I want your love for me to be based on. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. This is wonderful. He says, now, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. How do you know something you can't know? You can know that God's love is something you'll never fully know. You'll never fully comprehend it. You can know that. It's immeasurable. It will not end tomorrow. Brother, when you die, this faith of Christianity isn't over. It takes on a new dimension of experience.
Amen.
Time called eternity, which dwells within every person in here by faith right now. And the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to that.
Yeah.
It's not me. Why in the world would you come to church? Amen. A lot of people come to church because they're trying to get approval of God. They want God's love. You've already got it. You've already got it. God wants you to begin to enjoy it, to experience it. Amen. He's not going to trade you in. You're a soul that's made to live forever. Our lives are hid in Christ. He is our very, very life. I think about the, he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I think about the Italian chef, you know, with his fingers, this could either be something you're afraid of or something you just love. Amen. And one of my daughters, she spent all this summer, you know, trying to perfect her spaghetti sauce. Every week cost me another $50 every week because she had to buy the, you know, 2 or 3 pounds of macaroni and 4 containers of mozzarella cheese and, you know, the this type of tomato sauce or this type of tomato sauce, and let's try this macaroni this week and so on and so forth. And all of along, not realizing she already had the magical formula. But she was trying to perfect something that was already perfect. As far as I'm concerned, I love it. It was Hannah, amen. And every time she was like, Hannah, what did you do? She, just a little more garlic, Dad. It wasn't a little more garlic, amen. What did you do? She took out the garlic. A little more water in this. What did you do? Amen. And she's wanting approval. She'd ask everyone. Finally, she said, I'm not going to cook for anybody anymore. But she wanted to, because she wanted everybody to fall in love. She went back to what it always was in the first place, amen. Except she mixed it all together. And it's like, Hannah, what did you do? I did that was already proven to be perfect. His love's already, it's already perfect, brother. Amen. The Bible says that indwelling us is the perfect man. Amen. We just have to realize that. We just have to discover that God's love is immeasurable. Instead of trying to measure up to that which is measurable. Amen. Just allow that rule to remain within us. It's Christ Jesus in us. Amen. That's the measure of perfection. This is what God is doing in our lives. Look in Colossians, and we'll be coming to a close. Amen. Is God's love going to be there tomorrow?
Amen.
We keep time. God created it. We measure distance. God dwells beyond it. We look at the past and remember it. God forgets it. We don't know the future. He foresees it. Amen. There was a lost dog one time. They put an ad in the paper. The dog, a lost dog, brown fur, a little bit of mane, blind in one eye. Only 3 legs. We'll respond to the name Lucky. And we love him. He's not perfect, but our love for him is. And I'm like, wow. Is that not God's love for you and I that we have to discover and realize? It's a dimensional love, not the volume of our experiences. He wants us to understand that it's not every single day. It's not based on who we are. Amen? Where did I say turn? Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We'll be closing. Brother, it's unconditional. It's immeasurable. It will never end. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, this is what we've got to get a hold of. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. This is what the church is missing. They become lukewarm. They think it's things. They think it's size. They think it's feelings.
They don't understand it's his feelings. It's him being touched with our feelings. It's him becoming our sin, that we could understand and experience his love. That we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor. I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me. You know what Paul understood? Paul went to heaven, came back. And he understood the same life that he had when he was up there praising God and watching everybody else praise God. He came right back and he realized that's the same life that indwelt him. It's no different. The only thing different was him. Brother, we need to get a hold. We need to understand this. There's a couple eye problems that the church has. Myopia is nearsightedness. It's over 25% of the kids are going to develop as they get older. The church is myopia. Nearsight, we only see close up, brother. We're not looking from an eternal perspective. God's love is immeasurable. He's over here and he's looking down here. He sees time from an eternal perspective. We lose sight of that. And we suffer from nearsightedness. We think that God's anger and disgust with our depravity is something that would possibly cause him to lose some of his love for us. What a silly, foolish thing. Ignorant of God's love. Myopia. Color blindness. They say it affects men more than women over 8%. Just not realizing the beauty of all the promises of God's rainbow. Just not every one of the promises of God belong to us. I think of an older couple in a grocery store. They were getting ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary. They get ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary. They got all these little goodies that they're in line. They're talking about as they put it on the conveyor belt and going to the cash register lady. And the cash register, she's kind of rolling her eyes. It's like, people that get older aren't supposed to be in love. That's only for young people who haven't yet discovered that it's unconditional and immeasurable, but will. If they discover real love. Amen. And so it's their 50th wedding anniversary, and she just looks at him and says, what is all this for? And that's what they told us, our 50th wedding anniversary. And she looks at him and says, I just can't imagine being married to the same man for 50 years. The wife looked at her smiling husband on the other end, still loading things on. He just looked at her and winked. And she wisely replied, well, young lady, you shouldn't get married until you can. When you get saved, maybe you don't realize this, but brother, it's forever. And the only thing I'll miss about life by faith right now, and I will, is that I'll never ever have the opportunity again for God's love to be something that I experience by faith as he shows me that which isn't perfect based on that which is perfect inside me already. Amen? And he says, John, reckon that dead. Put this on instead. Lord, I just thank you so much for your wonderful, unconditional, immeasurable love. And I pray that people will leave here today secure, comforted, reassured, realizing, Lord, that your love isn't man's love. It's our love that falls short. And the law fulfills its purpose when it teaches us that. Help us to realize at the cross, that's where your love was outpoured. And that's where it belongs to us every day of our lives as we discover what it means by faith to love you, reckoning ourselves dead, and owning Christ's love in spite of ourselves. We love you because you first loved us. What a motivating desire that you would have all of us to have. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother.